Right now, I'd like to welcome Anna Sofair. She is an archaeoastronomer and author of the new book, Chaco Astronomy, an Ancient American Cosmology. And Brian Vio joins us. He's a member of the Pueblo of Acoma tribe in New Mexico and is the museum director at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center in Albuquerque. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Anna Sofair, this is a very interesting thing that you, an artist turned archaeoastronomer, actually discovered about 30 years ago. Tell us about the nature of this discovery.
Well, I was in Chaco Canyon because I had a great interest in rock art. And I had joined a group of enthusiasts for rock art who were there as volunteers to record everything they could on the canyon walls. And the director of this effort, this field school, said, somebody needs to do Fajada Butte. And I'd only been out there a day when he said this, and there was a terrific climber there from Los Angeles who I saw was ready to go, and I said, I'll go too. And what happened was,
now to do Fajada Butte meant to record the rock art there?
Yes. And the first day we were up there, we recorded about 22 sites, and we decided we'd climb to the top to see if there was something more there. And when we got there, we saw a beautiful large spiral. But it was kind of late in the day, and we decided we'd come back when there would be more light for recording it. And so the next day, we happened to get there near noon, a week from solstice, and there was a beautiful dagger of light bisecting the spiral. And that began what is now a 30-year study project of Chaco.
Now this dagger of light bisecting the spiral turned out to have astronomical significance. It wasn't a coincidence.
Well, yes, and I kind of knew that at the time because I'd been studying Mayan astronomy, actually, back in Washington, D.C., and I had witnessed some other shadow and light phenomenon, like the marvelous large serpent that climbs the pyramid at Chichen Itza. And about 3 weeks earlier, I had seen some slides from somebody who had recorded a figure in Baja, California, in a cave with a dart of light horizontally crossing the eyes of this little figure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so you said, I can recognize astronomical phenomena when I see them.
Well, a solstice and light is something actually quite universal. I'd also seen it at Newgrange in Ireland, where a tomb that's 5,000 years old has a passageway that lights up just at winter solstice sunrise.
So what did you do then?
Well, I was naive enough to think, oh, this is just what it is, and I'll tell the people who might know something about Chaco and others who know about rock art and so forth. And nobody took much of an interest, and if they did, they tended to be a little skeptical. So then I realized, and it took several months.
Science? Who were these? Academics, scholars, archaeologists?
Various, yeah. People who knew a lot more about Chaco and Southwestern archaeology and rock art. Nobody seemed to kind of click with it or say, oh, that's very exciting, or, gee, I think that's what it is. A lot of people said, oh, it's just a coincidence, light on the spiral, and so forth. So then that pressed me to realize I had to work scientifically, and I was fortunate enough to have incredibly good colleagues in Washington who I met a few months later. A physicist, Rolf Sinclair, with whom I worked for 14 years, and we published 8 different papers and abstracts, and he was phenomenally helpful. And I also met an architect who'd been trained in Germany in shadow and light formation. And he kind of led the way in convincing the physicist. And in the end, we wrote a paper in Science magazine that pulled all that together and showed that the site not just marked summer solstice, but winter solstice with 2 dagger shapes on each side of the spiral bracketing it, and at equinox a little spiral with a dart of light through it.
Now, why do you call it dagger? Isn't dagger a very particular European instrument?
Well, we are Europeans. We are not Anasazi.
The Anasazi were.
Well, in truth, that is the shape it looks like. It may have meant more. I have thought, to be honest, that it could have looked like an awl to ancient people.
We're talking to Anna Sofair about Chaco astronomy. Now, what were the rock formations that were put in place in order to make this phenomenon, the solstice and the equinox and so on, appear on this spiral?
Well, there are 3 large rock slabs, and they're 6 feet to 9 feet in height. The highest one is 9 feet tall, and they lean against the cliff face. so that their openings are to the south, southeast, and that allows these dagger shapes to form just as the sun is passing at those critical times.
And there was, I was watching the movie that's going to be screened tonight at the Center for Contemporary Arts. There was some controversy about whether those three slabs leaning up against each other were just naturally occurring formations.
Yes, that was an attitude or a response that we heard very often from geologists, some archaeologists, that it was just a natural rock fall. But as we learned more about the site and saw how those rock slabs had been once attached to each other as a block and attached to the cliff face, it was pretty clear that it would be extremely unlikely, if not impossible, for them to have moved into such verticality as they have.
And so what was the process of convincing the skeptics like, and also really probably convincing yourself as well?
Well, it was a scientific process. It was a lot of peer review internally amongst us. That's why Rolf Sinclair, I mentioned, was so good. He was at the National Science Foundation and very used to that process intellectually. And we brought other people in. And eventually, when you do publish in Science or Cambridge University Press, as we did over the years, you have to go through very, very rigorous peer review. And I think that was critically important. Because the last thing we wanted was to be waving our arms in the air and saying, oh, here it is, look at it. As, you know.
Isn't this pretty? I'm an artist.
Yeah. So I was extremely lucky that we had this interdisciplinary team that you see in the films and in the papers, who could bring across the various aspects of the site.
Brian Vio, you are the museum director at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center in Albuquerque. What is your role in this astronomy project?
Well, I've been involved for many years. I think I first met Anna in the late 1980s when I was working for the Pueblo. And Anna had come to Acoma to present her findings, I think some of the initial reports that were produced, and had this desire to share this information with the descendant communities of Chaco, and Acoma being one of them. So at that point, I was really interested. I was immediately interested about this work and the research and all of the other information that I didn't realize actually existed about Chaco. And so at that point, I had been, I think actually it was a couple of years later when the tribal government there asked me to stay involved and monitor the activities associated with this research project. I eventually became part of Anna and the Solstice Project's advisory committee and have been serving as a member of this committee since then. So we provide Anna and some of her colleagues with some traditional knowledge or information that helps her in her work, but also is of that we see as beneficial to the Pueblos in terms of documenting the history associated with Chaco.
So what is the benefit to the Pueblos, and how do you get information like this about Chaco out to the people?
Well, the Acoma, for example, has a historic preservation office and a tribal museum. So we're fortunate that we have those systems in place and or resources in place to disseminate information. We not only make that information available to the community, but we share the information with the appropriate tribal leadership and religious leaders. We have our own traditional knowledge associated with the history and the activities that occurred at Chaco. But it's always interesting for us to see how Western science and people in general, how they view Chaco and other ancestral homelands that we have. So it's interesting and important for us to know what is happening at these sites, to stay informed and be involved if we can in some of this work.
How would you characterize the differences and the similarities between how you at Acoma, how Pueblo people know things about, for example, astronomy versus the Western point of view about astronomy?
That's a good question. And I don't know that we, as collectively, as descendant communities, all agree on the same thing. You know, we have some very conservative Pueblos that are very protective of their traditional knowledge. So, you know, you don't really make those comparisons. It's inappropriate sometimes. So, for us, we, like I said, serve as a consultant to the Solstice Project, we being Acoma, and share what we can with not only Anna, but the Park Service officials who manage the site. It's also very important where collections are concerned, and the research, ongoing research associated with the Chaco sites. You know, we try to stay involved, and so we're not actually sharing traditional knowledge all the time, but we are providing guidance on the way in which maybe material culture is managed, and then also raise the red flag for these individuals as they are working in the site.
What do you mean, raise the red flag?
Well, if there are proposals for excavation or more excavation, you know, we that's one of the times that we would raise that flag, because there has been so much work and research already done in that area that any more is just so damaging to the site. So we're very concerned about the physical well-being of Chaco and its sites. And then when information just gets too sensitive, or the questions are just too sensitive, we will, you know, we either will not be responsive, or we will just come right out and say no. We are not interested in having this discussion, or in the Solstice Project's case, there might be some additional work, research that we don't feel is appropriate. And so, another example would be the publication, just like the new one here. You know, we have the opportunity, and I'm thankful to Anna for this, to review and provide comments and even have input sometimes to the books.
Anna Sofair, and by the way, that for our listeners just tuning in, the book is called Chaco Astronomy, an Ancient American Cosmology. You came at this work as an artist. You went through this whole scientific peer review process, and it just makes me think about, for example, we had last week on the air Margaret Randall, who's a writer and poet, and she spends a lot of time trying to imagine how Puebloan people thought, lived, felt. You, as an artist, as a human being, must have come in contact with lots of different ways of knowing and learning and try to integrate those. I mean, I'm projecting onto you. What was it like for you?
Well, thank you for that question. But in truth, I'm actually kind of uncomfortable with the thought that I could think like the Chaco people. That sounds strange after publishing, 9 peer-reviewed papers here. But there is a boundary that I've kept and felt appropriate, or felt comfortable with, which is a boundary of science. And also appropriate in sharing what the data, the facts, what we find, the alignments over and over in the buildings to the sun and to the moon, and how it all builds up to that picture of an extraordinary astronomy. Sharing it with the Pueblos, but not interpreting as much as we cannot, we do not. And if you've seen the second film, The Mystery of Chaco Canyon, it is not our voice, my voice, that interprets so much as brings out that data. It is really Pueblo people who are descendants of Chaco who are giving it more of the sense, the cultural meaning. And that, to me, is a great relief and a great help. I couldn't do the work without not just Brian, who's been tremendous as a colleague, but many others for the beginning of the finding in 77.
So let's talk about it, and either one of you can answer this. First of all, what is the significance of the symbol of the spiral, and what was the practical or overall purpose of marking the solstices and the seasons with the sun so accurately?
Well, I'd like to maybe leap ahead to a question we haven't gotten to, which is what is also there, and that's the moon. And the thing about Chaco that I suppose in one or two sentences, if you had to say it, would be sun and moon. Because soon after finding the solar markings, we found a series of shadow markings of the long cycle of the moon. And we found it also in the building alignments, so that the extreme positions for the moon, just like the extreme positions for the sun, are incorporated in the shadow and light markings and in the building alignments, interbuilding alignments, even the geometry of the buildings. And finally, through another colleague, a colleague from then the University of Colorado, an astronomer, we found that Chimney Rock, an outlying community of Chaco, set on a precipice, is set right there, with an alignment to the moon rising between two towers of rock just at the extreme of the moon, the major standstill. So I think if you really want to know where this all comes to, it's the combination. It's the integration of those two cycles with each other at the same sites.
Right. And what is the purpose of that? What was the purpose of that, of marking those things so accurately?
Well, I think it... let me say it's not utilitarian, because there's really no use for the moon at this long cycle for planting. And one of the responses we so often got was, oh, a solar marking, that's for planting and that's for farmers. And it's so much more in Chaco. First of all, there wasn't very much farming, if any. There was some, perhaps. But people were not living in these great buildings. They were built as monuments expressing cosmology. And this is a tremendous shift. That really we're dealing with a place that was built elaborately as a sacred center in a not very practical location to express astronomical relationships, sun and moon.
The planting hypothesis does seem pretty out there, considering that level of accuracy is not necessary for knowing when to put your seeds in, is it, Brian?
Well, it's... It could be. And, our ancestors migrated to Chaco from the Mesa Verde region. And it was part of their migration to various locations and to the present-day Pueblo communities. But there were significant activities that occurred at Chaco, and so it doesn't surprise me so much that so much time was spent probably not by the greater community of people at Chaco, but by certain individuals who had the responsibility to monitor and develop this method for managing time, observing time, observing the travels of the sun and the moon. This did not exist at their previous site to the level that it evolved at Chaco. So it was very ceremonial as well. It was a process that I'm sure involved a tremendous amount of sacrifice on the part of certain individuals for the greater good of the community. And we really believe that while people were at Chaco, that there was still a strong connection to this, to the spirit world. And so it was with as a result of having that connection, that people at Chaco were able to build the structures that were built to develop this astronomy, if you will, at Chaco. Because a lot of those things were then carried on as the migration continued.
Right.
And so even today in your modern Pueblo community, we still manage our time based on the observance of the solar and lunar cycles. We plant, we have ceremony, we observe other things throughout these years that are very much the same system that you had at Chaco.
So let me get back to this question. What is the significance of the spiral motif? They're looking at each other.
Well, that's a hard one, actually, because there's so many interpretations that worldwide have been given for spirals. But I suppose, and I'm going to venture into what I said, I wouldn't venture into interpreting Pueblo culture, but there is an image of movement toward the center in all the creation and migration stories. And I have been told by some Pueblo people that that spiral moving into that center might be significant in that way. But we've also seen it, if you've seen the second film, the one that's showing tonight, as possibly representing the motion of the sun moving through the seasons. And that is shown over a petroglyph that's very significant that looks like Pueblo Bonito, sun rising in the east, setting in the west, and turning through three cycles, lower and lower, turns into a kind of spiral.
Well, Anna Sofair, archaeoastronomer, and Brian Vallo, member of the Pueblo of Acoma tribe in New Mexico and museum director at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center in Albuquerque, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.